It's blind like me. I'm Phil Parf. I'd start my watch. We could actually be rolling in here. And Jaws pronounces your name Donna, but it's actually Dana Nolan. How are you?
I'm doing well, and how are you?
You seem to be so happy and just having a good time eating Chinese food on a Thursday afternoon.
It was good, too.
Was it? Did you have it? Can you have it delivered? Did somebody bring that to you?
Yeah, I had it delivered. Yeah.
What is your level of vision?
I am totally blind.
And have been?
All your life.
All your life. And you said you had a college education, a degree in psychology.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we used to have those psychology majors listen to me on the radio, and they could tell me what I played and why I played it.
Yeah. Don't know that I'm that insightful, but I definitely try.
You're not quite that insightful.
No.
And you live in Richmond, Virginia.
Yes.
I wish I could think who else I'd interviewed from there. Somebody else, but maybe you would know them. Anyway, have you always lived there? Is this your hometown? Or
no?
No. Well, tell us about yourself and you as a little blind child. Where did you grow up? And
I grew up in the middle of nowhere.
Really?
In Clearfield County in central Pennsylvania. And there was about 10,000 people in the town I grew up in.
Uh-huh.
And I went to public high school from kindergarten through graduation in 91.
So you never went to a blind school at all?
No.
No.
I did not. Not at all.
Well, sometimes that's good and sometimes it isn't. I guess by the time you came along and got ready to go to school, which would have been somewhere around 1980, 79 or so, they mainstreamed most kids, and so you were part of that. How did you get books? Can you read Braille? And how'd you do that?
Well, I actually read Braille, but I also had books on tape, and then I also had a teacher's aide who brailled out all my tests. She transcribed all of the answers when I would, respond. I also had an Opticon, and I was actually known as one of the fastest Opticon readers in the country.
Is that right?
I read over 100 words a minute. With an Opticon.
Boy, that seems impossible. I've never seen one, never looked at one, but it seems like, I guess, whatever you get used to, right?
Yeah, I actually started using it because I wanted to read the print books that all my little classmates were reading, and I decided that they weren't all available in format that I could read, so I was going to read them. I made up my mind.
One way or the other. Do you have any siblings, and are any of them blind? Are you the only one?
I have no siblings. I'm the only one.
So you were an only child and totally blind from birth.
Do we have
any idea why?
They think that it is Leber's syndrome. The nerves behind the optic nerve didn't make the connection. However, I went to a doctor recently because it's amazing to me how you can be blind all your life, but when you move into a new town, you always have to go to an eye doctor to prove that you can't see. He evaluated me, and he wasn't absolutely sure if it was indeed Leber syndrome or something else, which he really couldn't diagnose. So I don't honestly know. That's what the Shea Eye Institute in Philadelphia diagnosed me as when I was 5. My family didn't even know I was blind until I was 3.
Did this doctor offer any hope of maybe surgery fixing you or anything, this new doctor you went to?
No.
No. Well, you're used to being blind anyway. What the heck?
I don't. If I was given a choice to see, I don't believe I'd take it.
At your age, I'm surprised to hear you say that. I wouldn't, because I'm old and my life's a lot nearer the end than it is the beginning. But you couldn't be much above 30.
I'm 35.
So at your age, I'm really surprised to hear you say that. But then you've dealt with blindness 35 years. Why, you know, why screw it up? Why change and have to learn all over? Learn what a table looks like. Learn what everything looks like. Oh, so you went through public school. How was your social life in public school? Did you date? Did you participate in cheerleading or choral groups or what?
Well, I was the vice president in my student council 1 year. I was on National Honor Society.
Really?
And yes, I was in choral groups. I was in district choir, regional choir, all state choir 3 years in a row, and all Eastern choir in my senior year of high school. So
you were a singer.
I was a singer.
And still are, I guess.
Not as much as I used to, but I love to do it still. It's more of a hobby now.
Do you play any instrument?
No.
So you were just a vocalist. There's someone.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you were asking me too about my my social life. I dated some. I mean, I went to both proms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's good. That's kids ought to go to their prom. I guess you had a date for the prom.
Yeah.
And did you enjoy that? I mean, was high school good for you? Did you have fun in high school?
I had a couple really, really good friends. I had some experiences which weren't so kind. You know, kids are going to be kids, and they'll do pranks and, you know, just different things that try to get your attention and try to cause you grief. But honestly, I had a couple of really good friends, and we did a lot of different things together. One of them I still am in touch with now, and, you know, it's nice to still keep in touch every time I go back home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and kids are kids, and kids are mean to other kids, you know? I mean, they...
Absolutely.
They really are, especially little, you know, small kids are can be awfully ornery, awfully mean. I don't know if they mean to be. They're just expressing themselves, and like you said, trying to get attention. All right, so you're 18 years old. It's 1990 or so, and what did you think you could do with the rest of your life? What did you want to do?
I wanted to be a singer.
Well, yeah, but I mean, realistically, what?
Well, that's what I wanted to do but the problem was the counselor with the Association for the Blind said, you won't be able to do that and have livelihood. And so I wasn't able to go to college for vocal performance, which is what I wanted to do. I did minor in it. But I had always loved people and loved helping people and loved listening to people's problems. And so I thought, well, the next best thing is psychology. And I had initially, upon going to college, thought I would be a rehab counselor. But I never finished my master's degree.
And to be a rehab counselor, you have to have a master's degree?
Right.
Well, your counselor was in a way right, and I'm sure you see that.
Yes.
It would be pretty hard. I mean, a lot of us sing, but how many of us are able to actually make a living doing it? You know, the only possible way to make money in music is playing clubs, and you certainly don't want to do that.
No, absolutely not.
I can tell you from experience, you don't want to do that. That's no way to make a living. I did it for a number of years and made pretty good money, but it's sure a hard way to. It's because your job is, I mean, you're there one day, and boy, if you don't draw a crowd for 2 or 3 days, you're out. There's no mercy from club owners. All right, so what college did you end up attending?
Well, I started out at Edinburgh University near Erie, Pennsylvania, but then decided to move across the state to the Philadelphia area and graduated actually from Westchester University.
With a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology and a minor in vocal performance.
Right.
All right. Well, as we discussed before we started recording, you have a job.
Yes, I've had jobs for quite a long time.
Is that right? Well, tell us about some of them. That's why we're here. What kind of jobs have you had?
That's one reason I ended up not going on to get my master's degree, because right out of college, I was introduced to someone who had been working for AT&T as a relay operator for the deaf. And the office was not far from my university, and I interviewed in December of 95. I graduated in December of 95. I interviewed in December of 95, began my first job in January of 96. And to be honest, by the time I finished with AT&T, I was making close to $40,000 a year. I ended up a customer care supervisor. I had to move from the Philadelphia area to the Pittsburgh area because the merge between, well, when AT&T, Lucent Technologies, and NCR had all their issues, there was just a lot of downsizing and job placement changes, and so I moved near Pittsburgh. Well, then some personal events happened, and also the call center now only has approximately 5 or 6 people working in it. So I ended up for a brief period of time in Nebraska and took a leave of absence from AT&T, and then went back to Pennsylvania with
my family. Wait a minute. Let's not skip Nebraska. How'd you get there? What a, you know, of all the places I wouldn't want to be, it'd be Nebraska.
Well, to be completely honest, yes. My marriage was, I was married.
Oh, okay.
At AT&T. And my marriage was not kind to me.
Uh-huh.
Some abuse occurred.
Really?
And so I decided that that was not a good scenario for me to continue in. And at the time, my family was having some personal issues, uh-huh. and I didn't want to go home. And one of my best female friends was in Nebraska, so I moved
so
out there.
So you went to Nebraska?
With her, yeah.
I trust you've divorced this jerk.
Yes.
Good. That's good. Was he cited?
No.
He was not cited?
No.
Oh. How did you meet him at AT&T? Was he working there also?
He was working there also.
And so you fell in love, you thought, and got married.
Right.
As oftentimes we do at a young age. And then live to regret it. I've been divorced a number of times. I know about these things. Anyway, you moved to Nebraska, then you moved back to
Pennsylvania.
Moved back home for a while.
And I just didn't want to stay back at home because my family's great, but I'm an independent girl, and I wasn't allowed to cook when I was at home, and I wasn't allowed to, you know, do the things that I'd been accustomed to doing as a wife, living out on my own.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up getting a job for Verizon and moved to Erie.
You were downsized out at AT&T.
Right, right.
That's why my stock went from $65 a share to 65 cents a share. Which it did. I couldn't believe it. We had all this nice AT&T stock that we were so proud of, and we woke up one morning and it wasn't worth anything. So anyway, so you went to work for Verizon.
Verizon, yeah. I was a directory assistance operator for all of 6 months because I despised the position. By the way, I say that because if you dial 411 and you ever wonder why the operators are rude, they give you a 29-second call time to complete your request. So that's why they're rude, because we're not given any time to do anything. And I felt like a robot. All I did was, you know, city and state, you know, I mean, it just was so monotonous. I couldn't handle it.
Okay. So you had the customer in one ear and Jaws in the other ear. Am I right?
Right.
They would say city and state. You would type in Lufkin, Texas, and hit enter. And it would take you to the phone book in Lufkin, and you would say, what listing would you like? And I'd say, Radio Shack. And so you'd type in Radio Shack and hit enter. Am I correct?
Well, we would actually type the first couple letters of the city and the first and the state abbreviation, and then for Radio Shack, we would type R-D, like R-A-D space S-H, you know what I mean? Like the first couple letters,
uh-huh.
and it would bring up the listing. And the thing was, sometimes there was 16,000 Radio Shacks in one town, one city, so you had to figure out which street they wanted.
Yeah.
And 90% of the time, they didn't know what street they wanted.
And would you repeat the number to them, or did you say, hold on, and then the computer gave them the number?
The computer gave them the number.
Computer gave them the number. Could you do this job? Were you able to do this job as a blind person?
Absolutely. I could do the job. It just was monotonous. I mean, I was fast. I just hated it because I'm a people person. And, you know, I felt like I was a robot. City and state, city and state, city and state. You know, I could do it in my sleep. I was almost dreaming city and state.
Well, now the computer asked for city and state now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the computer asks for city and state, and then sometimes you get an operator, and sometimes you don't. It goes right through to the computers giving you the number, which is okay with me. I don't, you know.
Well, see, sometimes we wouldn't say city and state unless they came onto the line. We would process some of those automatic things, too, where people would say their information. We'd have to type it in and just send them onto the recording, too, yeah.
That's the way they, basically the way it's done now, and it's very automated. But sometimes works well. I sometimes like it better. We used to have, up until about 5 years ago, we had local information operators. And, of course, I used information a lot at that time. I don't so much anymore, but I did at that time. And I knew them all. So, the lady would answer, and I'd say, Audrey, can you, it was just really neat. But, of course, that's gone. Local phone companies and all that stuff is gone. So, okay, so you work for Verizon, and you quit them because you couldn't handle it, couldn't stand that monotony.
Right. And then while I was in Verizon and in Erie, I got into another relationship. Got married again. I've been divorced from this individual as well. He was sighted.
Is that right? So you've been married twice at 35. Well, Dana, excuse me. I'm always going to want to call you Donna because you're also, Dana, you've beat me. I didn't get my second divorce until I was 45. So you got into that relationship, got married, and got out. No children in any either relationship?
No.
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 Well, I guess
he basically left because his quote was he wanted a real woman, a whole woman. He decided after several years that he just didn't want someone that couldn't see.
That's a nasty way to tell a girl or a guy that you don't want him anymore, that your handicap is the problem. Of course, he knew you were blind when he married you.
Well, yeah.
You weren't any blinder when he left than he was.
No.
If you keep marrying these losers, Donna, you're never going to be happy. You've got to find you some real guys that can really care and don't mind you being blind. That's a terrible thing to say. Anyway, you got out of that marriage, and now you're in Charlotte. What happened between that marriage and Charlotte? Any other jobs?
Well, I actually moved from Erie, Pennsylvania to Dayton, Ohio, worked for a year with Sprint doing the same thing I was doing for AT&T with the relay service. But unfortunately, the pay was almost half of what I was getting at AT&T. And I was doing more work. And then the relay service started to introduce this internet relay system wherein persons who were deaf could just go on to the website, make a phone call, and we had to do the relay work. The problem was people from other countries decided it was nice to utilize fraudulent credit cards, which they would, steal numbers from American residents and go on to this free system and have us make calls. They would pretend they were deaf and they would be contacting U.S. businesses. And morally, I couldn't continue to do the job. I'm a Christian and that's, my choice. And thus, it just morally bothered me. So for the second time, I went back home.
Uh-huh.
And I'll never go back home again.
Living with your parents as an adult is a difficult thing to do. I never did do it, but I'd go home. I'd stay 2 or 3 days, and about the 50th time, my dear, sweet, sainted mother, whom I love very much, loved, always will, said, George Philip, watch out for that fan that I've told you about 49 times already. I was ready to get the hell out of there. I couldn't handle that too much longer. And so I understand that. So you move back home trying to figure out what you wanted to do and where you wanted to go.
And then I was going to go to Arkansas to get training for the IRS program.
Yeah.
And I had a friend who lived here in Richmond, and I decided that I was going to, come down and see if I liked the area. So I took a trip and, came down to see if I liked the area, found out that there was a job coach in this area. So, by the way, if visually impaired people want to move to a place where there are tons and tons, and I mean tons, of customer service jobs, Richmond is your city.
Richmond is your city.
I I met this job coach, and I thought, well, why not apply for some positions and see what I can do? Because if I don't have to go through Lion's World or one of those, you know, independent living facilities.
I understand.
I don't want to, you know, I've already worked. So why go back and prove my, you know, that I can cook when actually cooking is one of my favorite things to do.
So. And you also know cane travel.
Right.
You don't need mobility instructions. You don't need, just talking to you on the phone, I'm sure you don't need social training. You don't flip your hands or rock or any of those blind things. You can cook. But it's part of the state's thing. If they're going to help you, you got to go to one of their things.
So I applied for, I want to say, 15, 16 jobs. And I got called by Capital One first.
Uh-huh.
And had a second interview and went to work for them for about a month and a half. Well, I had also had a call and an interview for the credit union where I work now.
Uh-huh.
And I really believe that that was a much more secure position because it's a state credit union.
Yeah.
And interviewed once, and I talked to my counselor here, who is fabulous, by the way. The services here are great.
Uh-huh.
I can't say anything negative against them at all. I had talked to my counselor, and I said, what should I do? And she said, well, you know, take the first job you're given, and if the other one comes along, then go for it. So I worked at Capital One for a little while, and then I had to take a customer service test. The job that I have now, you had to go through four steps. You had to do your phone interview, then took me about an hour and a half, 2 hours, customer service test that someone had to read to me that I had to do on the computer. Then we had to do another evaluation. Well, they called me in for a final interview, and it just so happened that they weren't very busy at Capital One. I found that they were always sending people home if they wanted to go home, not by force, but they just weren't busy.
Uh-huh.
And we had to sell quite a lot there. And sales is fine, but if I don't have to be a pushy salesperson, I don't necessarily want to be one.
What were you selling?
I was trying to get people to use their credit cards so that they would benefit from the rewards on their card, meaning the rebates and the points and the cash back and all those different things.
So you were doing this on the phone?
Right.
And you would call people, and of course
they would call me.
They would call you. Well,
yeah,
that's even better. That's better.
They would call me because we'd send thousands and thousands of letters to their home about how they could better utilize their card, and we had more rewards to give them, or we could lower their interest rate, or we could do this, or we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was all positive things we were doing, but unfortunately, the call volume was very low, and there were times we'd sit there 15, 20 minutes between calls, so
right?
I felt like my job security was compromised just the slightest bit.
Yeah.
So I was able to get the afternoon off, and I went and interviewed for the position that I have now and was offered the position, gave my 2 weeks' notice. The problem is my current position is 20 miles away from where I chose my apartment. So I'm in the process of moving from one side of town to the other.
Now, what do you do for this credit union?
I am an account consultant. Anything that, if you go to the teller window at the bank and you ask a teller to do something for you, I do over the phone. I use a Braille display combined with JAWS and also an PacMate, an Omni.
Use a Braille display. Let me unplug this phone. Use a Braille display combined with JAWS. So what does the Braille display do for you? I mean, do you print out something right there, or what?
Well, with my Braille display, I am able to verify, because I'm transferring money all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it's nice to be able to see the amounts that I'm transferring. JAWS reads it to me, but when you're dealing with people's finances, you want to almost double check that you're transferring the exact right amount of money, or that you're, because uh-huh. I'm dealing with account numbers. I'm copying mm-hmm. and pasting, and the system I'm using is very difficult because it's web-based inside Internet Explorer. We're using things like Microsoft InfoPath. It had to be really, really heavily scripted. because it's just a lot to it. I mean, I have gazillions of macros to memorize, which I have down now. We have speed codes that we use. To be honest, it is the most complex computer system I've ever dealt with as far as employment's concerned, but really it's worth it because the job's a challenge. I never know what someone's going to call in about, and it's personal. I have my own cubicle. It's more like a family atmosphere. There's probably 50 people in our call center. We're only open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6 and Saturday from 9 to noon. I only work one Saturday every quarter, like every 12 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal. Our benefits are great. We have lots of vacation time. We have just a lot of perks, and it's a great place. And the thing that I like, there's another visually impaired person that works at my job, and she has been promoted from the position that I'm in now to another one. So I like the fact that this particular organization does allow visually impaired folks the ability for upward mobility.
Yeah, so they didn't hold her back because she was visually impaired. They promoted her.
Right.
Which is great. And, boy, working for the state, I don't know about Virginia, but Texas, you get good benefits, like you said, and good vacation and good retirement. And sounds like a good place to be.
I love it. I'm not going to leave it.
If we can just find you a good husband. Which we'll endeavor to do here. But, this you say you live 20 miles from your place of employment.
20.
And how do you get there? You have to take a cab every day?
A transportation service. Tomorrow will be the last day that I use a transportation service because I'm on vacation next week. And then following that, I actually am going to be moved. So This place is so awesome that I'm going to be living probably a half a mile from my job, and my coworkers are offering to pick me up and take me home because it's one of those situations where I could learn how to walk, but it's along a very, very busy highway. There's also another way to do it, but they're doing construction right now. Once they get that cleared up, then I'm going to get mobility out there to see if I can't learn how to walk over there as well. So
yeah, because there might be days when walking would be a pleasant thing.
Well, yeah.
There might be fall or spring days when the temperature wasn't too high that you would actually enjoy a good walk. Do you have a guide dog?
No.
You do not. Have you ever?
No.
Why not?
I have two kitty cats.
You have two kitty cats instead of a guide dog. Yeah. I never did want a dog either. You just decided that wasn't for you. That wasn't the thing you wanted.
Well, I have known, and I know this sounds really lame probably, but I've known some other visually impaired people who have had dogs, and I, especially like if a blind couple has two dogs and you're trying to get in a taxi and two dogs are going with you, you know, my cane I can just fold up and put under the seat.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just out of the way.
And you don't have to get up in the middle of the night and take your dog out. And
yeah, I mean, my cats do what they need to without me getting up in the middle of the night. So
I love dogs. I have a dog. I'm petting a dog with one hand right now while I'm talking to you because she won't leave me alone. She wants me to scratch her belly. And I love dogs, but I never wanted one to lead me around. I never wanted to get in a taxi with one or get on a bus with one or go anywhere with them. Take one to the country club or take one anywhere. That never appealed to me. And to each his own, you know, some blind people.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love dogs too. I don't fault anybody that has a dog. I think they're great. It's just not my choice.
If you traveled a lot, like Dale goes to the grocery store and his dog takes him, knows, you know, all he's got to say to the dog, I can't remember his dog's name, is grocery store. And this dog will lead him. I mean, this dog's smart enough to know. He's trained that dog to know just to lead him to the grocery store so he can think about other things while they're walking. He doesn't have to worry about, and that would be nice, but I don't need that. All right, so you're 35 years old. You've got a good job. Just give me a ballpark figure. What kind of money are you making? Pretty good? 30?
Pretty good. Yeah, around there. I mean, between there and a little more.
It takes that much to live these days.
Well, yeah.
If especially if you're going to order in Chinese food, things of that nature.
That was was only $12.
That was only and worth every nickel of it. And I bet there are leftovers for supper also.
Absolutely.
Well, that's very good. Well, sounds like you're doing well and don't really need much of anybody's help. You've got a good job living in Richmond. I guess you've made some friends there. If you have coworkers that are willing to truck you back and forth to work, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's a pretty good thing. This job is really good, and I'm involved in some social activities here. I don't know if anybody's heard of this site called meetup.com, but if you're in a city and you're looking for things to do, there's this website called meetup.com that you can visit, and it has all kinds of different activities, and you can find activities that interest you, obviously, and join social groups. There's one called Christians Without Partners that I do different things with. We go to all kinds of cruises and different things like that on the river, and concerts and just different things. So that's a nice way to network socially.
All right. Let's talk about keep seeing messages on our list. You're on the handyman list, but you're on the Blind Like Me list. And I keep seeing these messages about this new I used to see messages about you on another website, but now you have a new thing that you're launching or that you're helping to launch. Tell us about that.
I and my friend Stephanie and Chris are managing a new radio station, which launches actually tomorrow evening, which is the 12th at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And the station name was kind of a unique name, because basically, I don't know if you've heard blind people refer to one another as blinks before or not.
I have.
When I went to camp, we all called ourselves blinks, and those that were total called ourselves blinks, and those that were partial called themselves winks, and I don't know why, but it was just an affectionate term that people would use.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, the blink kind of just sounded like a possible name for a station. Well, we thought in contrast that we would pick 2020, because 2020 vision is completely opposite of being a blink.
Being a blink. Yes, ma'am.
So that's where the station name came from. And then our slogan is Hear the Vision, which is another contrast.
Another play on words. Hear the vision. And the name of the station is what?
2020 the blink, and it's 2020 which is 2020 theblink.net. If you visit 2020theblink.com, you'll also get to the same site. So either one will get to
.net or .com.
Right.
Well, you need me to do 2020 the blink. You need me to do some of those for you.
That would be cool, actually.
That's what I do. I'll do some of those for you. We'll talk about that. You need those little, it's called imaging. 2020, the blink.
We have a really, really, really cool promo that we're going to use tomorrow night to start us off.
You don't have it there, do you?
I have it, but it's...
Finding it would be a problem.
No, I can find it. The problem is that I don't have any way to do the what you hear or any of those options on Skype to send it through, but I do have the MP3.
Oh, okay. So it wouldn't just play over your line out like you're talking?
No.
No, okay.
No.
All right, so we'll have to tune in Friday. Of course, now it's going to be after Friday when this runs. So this began Friday the 12th. Friday night the 12th at what time? 7, did you say?
7 Eastern, yes.
7 Eastern. All right, what's there? Why would anybody want to go there?
Well, first of all, we are looking for new broadcasters, so if anybody's interested in DJing with us, we do have some openings. Not a lot. You would not believe how many people have applied. It's crazy. If you go over to look at our schedule.
Yes, I would, because almost everybody I interview that's blind is interested in radio.
There's over, I think, 21 broadcasters I've seen since I last kept count. And more are coming in, and I have to, there's an application page, and it's accessible, so if you all want to fill it out, you can. There's an application link. There is a listen link. We also have a link that if you click on it, will automatically add our station request to your MSN Messenger. So if you click on it, Windows Messenger will come up and ask if you want to add us.
Okay.
We also have, when you do click on the listen link, or the tune-in link.
Uh-huh.
When that comes up, if you do your links list in JAWS, insert F7, and hit the first W, that will take you to Winamp. If you go to the next one, it would be Windows Media Player, are for real audio, but it's very easy to navigate. Once you hit the tune in, you can, like I said, just do the links list to get to whichever player you want to use. You hit enter on that and the music will start to play. We have every genre that you can think of almost, except blues and jazz. I don't believe we have any of that, but we actually are focusing on content that's safe for the entire family, because we just don't want anyone's feelings to be hurt or any problems.
Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to do Christian music, or what are you going to do?
I have three shows.
Okay.
I have one on Thursday nights from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., and that is called DJ Kitty's Country Kitchen. And I play mostly today's country. We do a little feature called Make It or Bake It, where two songs face off against one another, and you have to choose which one goes and which one stays. And then
hold it. Wait a minute. You would do that with MSN Messenger?
MSN Messenger or email, or, you know, if the people that know me can call my house if they so choose. Also, people can add me to Skype. And I can give the MSN Messenger address for the station is music@2020theblink.net. And that is also the email address that can be used to make requests during the broadcast or show. It's okay. One and the same. And my Skype, if anyone wants to add me to ask any questions, is Dana030973, and that's my birthday.
Dana
030973. So that's how you can vote as well. If you add me to Skype, I usually have it turned on.
Uh-huh. And this Thursday night is basically country, and you play today's country, modern country.
Right. Now, this particular Thursday night, someone is going to be filling in for me because I'm moving.
That's right. Next week, you're moving.
Right. So somebody, there will be today's country on. Someone is going to cover for me. But I will be there after
all right,
next
now, all
week.
All your music is in the computer, on your hard drive.
Right.
And you are using what program to manage that music?
I primarily just use, I use the SAM encoders, and I use Winamp, and I use a line recording plugin to broadcast, and I have, I use CDEX to burn my CDs onto my computer.
And you can manage, you have, of course, a microphone, which you're using right now.
Right.
And you talk between songs, you introduce the next song. And
I do.
You make yourself a playlist before you go on the air.
No, I'm very spontaneous. I normally put four or five songs in the playlist, and I let the listener guide my show. I'm very much into listener interaction. I want to know what the people that are tuning into me want to hear. Uh-huh. So I don't make it all about my favorites. I try not to anyway, but I do. Mm-hmm. I kind of have a little thing. I tease my listeners because I call myself DJ Kitty, and I'll say something all the time like, this kitty will purr if you give me requests, but if you don't give me requests, I'm going to growl and hiss and just carry on, like, you know. So I try to interact with my listeners.
I love it. All right, this, are you a fan of, I guess you're a fan of country music?
I love country music, but I have three shows that are all different.
Okay, tell me about the other two.
Friday night, I have Dedications with Dana. That's right. From 7 to 10 on Fridays, and that's exactly like it sounds. I call myself a sappy girl. I love lyric. I love, you know, music with emotionally charged stories.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess it's kind of almost like the Delilah show, but it's Dedications with Dana. So it's worried.
Dedications with Dana.
Yeah, so it's kind of self-explanatory.
And you take dedications, or you play? Have you written any songs?
No, I haven't.
Most people who are into lyrics and things like that try their hand at writing.
I don't know why, but I'm just not poetic at all.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, they don't have to rhyme much anymore.
It's true.
we quit all that silly stuff, rhyming, what's that? All right, so that's Friday nights, and that's Dedications with Dana. And,
from 7 to 10. And then Sundays, I have a show called DJ Kitty's Christian Cafe, and that is from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern in the afternoon on Sundays, and I play a mix of contemporary Christian, praise and worship, Southern gospel, Christian country, also some independent artists who have shared some of their music. One of the people that I play often is also visually impaired, and she's done a phenomenal job producing quite a number of CDs, and that's I often play a lot of Kelly Williams's music.
Kelly Williams, is she sighted?
She's blind.
She's blind, and she's done some CDs.
Yes.
Well, I would like to interview her here on this show and play some of her music. Can you make that happen?
I sure can try.
You can make that happen for me. Get in touch with her and give her my email address or send me hers, and I'll email her and get her to email me 4 or 5 songs, and we'll play them and interview and talk about her musical abilities and musical career and what she wants to do. That's the kind of thing I like to do.
Well, I will let her know.
All right, you do that. So 3 shows: Thursday night, straight country; Friday night, country dedications; Sunday, Christian music.
Well, actually, Friday is not just country dedications.
Yeah.
It's country, it's secular, it's, you know, it's everything. Is, you know, whatever a person wants to dedicate to someone they care about, or maybe someone who's hurt them, or whatever have you, you know, whatever the event may be.
Do you have a way of looking, I guess you do, you have a way of looking to see how many listeners you have and who they are, don't you?
I can see how many I have. To be 1,000% honest, I don't want to look to see who they are. It's not really my business. People can go in and see IP addresses, and I just think that that's invading people's privacy. So I personally just tend to look at how many people listen, and those that want to contact me and let me know they're listening, great.
And if they don't, they can just be a lurker, as
right.
They say. Just lurk around and see what you play next. All right. Well, what else? What are the things you have on your stage? You have any talk? Is it all music?
It's mostly music. We have a Southern gospel show on Sunday mornings, and then we have a lot of other country shows. So if you like country, there are probably 6-7 country shows. There's a couple other Christian shows. There is a New Age show. We have a lot of variety shows where people are just playing eclectic mixes. We have someone doing an actual country countdown. We have someone that does News of the Weird. We have someone going to do some bluegrass, some Sinatra. I mean, it is extraordinarily eclectic. There's bound to be something that everybody will like.
Anybody doing oldies country?
Oldies country, yes. On Saturday mornings.
That's a good place for oldies country on Saturday mornings. Who is the disc jockey there, do you know?
DJ's name is Dan from Ohio.
Dan from Ohio doing oldies country. Well, that's what I like, so I'll have to tune him in. He'll be on this Saturday morning? This thing starts Friday night and keeps going.
Right. We may, this weekend, actually have DJs just come on board to do their shows when they're not even, like, when things aren't even scheduled. We may have some people come on to do guest shows just to kind of introduce the station. So this weekend, it's kind of going to be a lot of programming. Things that may be on the schedule may not be going on the first couple days. Everything will definitely be on schedule as of Monday, but the first weekend we're going to just really try to introduce our listeners to our staff.
Okay. All right. And this is 2020theblink.com or .net.
Right.
Either one will work. And go there. If you like the music, stay. If you don't, well, hang on. They'll play something maybe that you do like. All right, Donna, we're going to go. Good luck, and keep us posted, and get us in touch with anybody that wants to do this show. We're on about 30 radio reading services and ACB radio also, so we can give you good exposure and play your music and let you tell about your life, which hopefully inspires other blind people who are in the same boat and wondering, can I do it? Well, if she can, you can. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're traveling out to California. Is that running? Stopwatch. I'm always worried about that. Anyway, back mine on is. To do what? Yours is running?
Mine, yeah.
You started yours too?
Yes, I did when you did.
That's good. Us anal retentive blind people just do things like that, don't we? Ken Sawicki, yeah. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful morning. You know, I'm still working. I still got a few bucks in my pocket, not like some people, you know, and just enjoying life, actually.
Got a couple of bucks and maybe a half a case of Miller Lite in the fridge.
There you go.
I can't complain.
A couple of porterhouse steaks in the freezer ready to go on the grill.
Yeah, I can't complain too much. It's may not be great, but it's been a lot worse, hasn't it?
Yes, sure has.
I've thought about you 1,000 times. You told me some great stories. We had you on Blind Like Blind Like Me. You were about as honest a man as I think I'd ever met.
Well, thank you. There's other people that might not agree with that, but
well, I don't worry about what other people think. I don't have time.
Yeah,
I'm too old. Anyway, you're in Lancaster, California. Is that right?
That is correct. Phil.
And you are the, I guess, access technology specialist for college there. Is that right?
That's it. It's the access technology / alternative media specialist because it covers both fields, accessible technology and alternative media.
And you you braille things for people and you...
Braille them. I put them in Kate Kurzweil. I don't want to give commercials to too many people, but I put them in different formats. Braille is one of them, yes, uh-huh. And create MP3s if they want audiobooks.
Yeah,
and do them in different other ways that they can put them on computers and read them, or players, or fix them up for the stream.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we do.
And do you have students other than blind students? You have some physically handicapped that you work with?
We have the majority of our students are LD, learning disabled.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a student registered population of LDs, or, you know, students with disabilities, about 800.
Is that right?
Yeah, so we can get pretty busy sometimes. I just did a ton of books. I did almost... I don't know. I did it about 10 books, and probably, well, a couple of the nursing books were like 1,200 pages. So I've probably done, you know, 10,000 pages of text in the last couple of weeks. I've got a high-speed scanner.
Wow.
That's a lot of paper.
That's a lot of braille. That's a lot of braille and a lot of scanning and a lot of work. So this job keeps you busy. You're not just sitting slouching around. You're busy.
No. I earn my keep. It definitely keeps me going. And then, you know, plus we have a listserv that we have of all the California community colleges and mm-hmm. colleges throughout the world that pose questions to us. You know, like, how do you produce this? How do you caption that?
Yeah.
All types of questions like that.
Do you know Deborah Norling?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, she did a podcast on cook training, and she worked for one of the colleges up in
I can't remember either. Somewhere.
It's not Cupertino, but it's right next to it.
She does basically the same thing you do. Basically,
yes.
Same sort of job. All right.
Yes.
Well, and how old are you, sir, if you don't mind telling us?
I'm 62.
62. So I got a year or two on you, but we're from the same frame of reference, I think.
She's from San Jose, as we're
talking. San Jose. We had her on Blind Like Me a couple of weeks ago. Very, very sharp lady.
Yes, she is. And she used to post some really, really excellent stuff to the list. She can write. She's very knowledgeable. And if you give... The thing about Deborah, if you write her a one-sentence question, you're going to get back a five-page answer, and it'll be a good one.
Yeah, she seemed to be into what she's doing. But the reason we have contacted you, or you contacted me, I think on the day, the 13th, the day the big storm came through East Texas, you called me on Saturday morning and played an interesting little thing for me. Tell us about this road, how it came to be, and give us a little history on it.
Well, there's what happened up here in the city of Lancaster is Honda wanted to do a commercial, and so they found this special machine that a guy, I wish I knew more about it, but he's from Japan, and he found that if you take a machine, and you know how you have warning grooves when you're driving down a freeway when you're coming to a stop, or
yeah.
If you're running off the road and it'll go,
yeah.
It'll make your tires will sing a note or something like that.
Sure.
Well, he found that he invented a machine. Obviously, somebody needs to get a life, some people say, but he found that if you took and cut grooves into a road at different depths and spaced them apart, you know, timing them to a musical signature, that you could actually put music into a road. And so they made one of the there were, and now the one here is gone because of neighbor complaints, but they say they're going to relocate it. But they made one of three musical roads that are around throughout the world. It was only one of three. And you just go over the road at a certain speed, and it would play the William Tell Overture.
Well, why don't we play your little clip, and then we can talk about it a little bit. And we've also got a clip of the newscaster talking about them removing it.
Sure,
so,
go.
So let's play your clip that you recorded of this road here. Let's see.
Start recording. Okay, my name's Ken, and I'm going to kind of do this for Blind Cool Tech as a podcast. We're westbound on Avenue K in Lancaster, California, just west of 60th Street West. And this is a musical road, and you'll figure out what tune it is. You have to go over these grooves that are cut in the road at 55 miles an hour. So, Renee, you take over and tell us when should it start. My little contribution for the day.
Musical road. It's kind of loosely the William Tell Overture. Da da da.
Well, yeah.
Da, 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 da. Yeah.
You know, it came out a little flat, and I think it. I did not get an opportunity to redo that, and I really kind of wanted to. But I think if you went over it a little bit quicker, a little faster, but then again, you have to watch the speed limit, you know.
Yeah.
That the pitch probably would have come up a little bit, but it is discernible. And my wife Renee said that when you got to the end of it, and then when we went to the other side to turn around, she said the smiles on the people's faces were incredible.
Yeah, they ought to put little sections all along the road. I think this is a great idea. Say the guy ought to get a life. I think this is wonderful.
Well, I thought, you know, they could do a theme, like around the holidays. Maybe they could do some sort of a holiday tune. You know, you almost can't say Christmas or New Year's or whatever.
Oh, you can on this show. Well, they could do I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas.
Yes, or Jingle Bells or something like that. And then, like, maybe in the month of June, they could do something like Here Comes the Bride or something like
June
that.
June is
then
busting out.
Then people could
out.
Get married and...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
June is busting out all over. Remember that?
Yeah, there you go. And people could, you know, drive down the road and get energized. It was just a lot of fun doing it. I really, really enjoyed it. And actually, when you're hearing that, that's with the windows rolled up, and it's actually just coming through the tires and the chassis of the car. So
yeah.
your whole vehicle becomes the sounding board.
Of course, there'd be some people who would think it was politically incorrect and wouldn't like the song they played, and you know, they would call it all kind of country. But all right, let's see if we can get to this. I'm using a book port here. Let's
ncc.inkstab.int.
This may be in here.
Playing unfiltered files not supported.
That's what you get with Bookport. You get that.
Intfrinfo.inf. A2MP3. A3MP3.
Right, I think this is it. Let's see if this is it, Ken.
Okay, you've probably seen this. The song no longer remains the same in Lancaster as the Honda Musical Road is ground under in preparation for repaving. Earlier in the month, Honda came to the Antelope Valley with the unique idea that's only been seen in two other places in the entire world. Cutting grooves in the road along Avenue K at 65th Street West. A Japanese researcher discovered that a car driving over carefully cut grooves could actually hit musical notes. After completion of the commercial, the road became a mini tourist attraction to some, and unfortunately an annoyance to others. Responding to calls of complaints, the city of Lancaster agreed to grind up the grooves and repave the road. However, our Susie Theodore learned there may be new life for the song that never ends.
As for the musical road, you mentioned that it is a big thing for Lancaster, but it's gone now.
So. It's gone. Today was the last day on the musical road. And the reason for that was the neighbors' complaints, but more importantly, it became a safety issue. There were so many people driving down it and making quick stops to turn around and listen to it again. So what we're going to do is we're just going to move it probably out to Avenue G by the Fox Airfield.
All right. So they're going to do it again. They're going to move it somewhere else, right?
Yes, it's going to be a little bit north, farther north, and it'll be in a less populated area.
Wonder if it'll play the same song.
I don't know. And well, I'll tell you what. If and when they do, and when they redo it,
yeah.
I will get a recording and I'll send it to you, and we'll find out.
Won't you do that, Ken? Thanks for pointing this out to us. What a unintentional, blind-friendly idea this is.
It sure was. And thank you for letting me be a part of your show, Phil. I really appreciate it.
Well, don't forget, turn it down. Okay, don't forget about our gathering in Houston coming up the 24th, 5th, and 6th of October. Email me, philparr@consolidated.net, and I'll send you the information about it. We'd love to see you in Houston, Texas. We're going to play a lot of music and fellowship and just gather around and enjoy each other, meet some new friends and see some old ones. So email me, philparr@consolidated.net, and I'll send you all the information. Thanks for listening, and come be a guest on Blind Andy Man or Blind Like Me. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.